Well, good evening out there, race fans. Once again, it's Monday night, and you know what that means. It's time for the cool down lap. This is the official podcast for Midwest Motorsports. I'm your host, Greg Dreis, and we have a guest tonight, as we always try to have guests from the league. Tonight is Anthony Castor. He's the rules director for the Midwest Motorsports Oval Series, Cup, Truck, and Xfinity. And we're going to be talking tonight with Eric and Justin as well about changes and updates on rules for the upcoming Season 6, which starts in a couple of weeks. And then we'll have an update on the Road Series, and we'll check out how that's going with the two divisions, pro and amateur divisions this year. I want to let you know you can catch the Cool Down Lap right now live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. It'll be uploaded later on to YouTube, Spotify, and just about two dozen or so other podcast platforms. And we're happy to say we are now on TuneIn, great radio app, as well as you can even catch us on Sirius XM, as well as all the others, Google, Amazon, and Apple Podcasts. Well, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Anthony Castor, Oval Series Rules Manager. Good evening, Anthony. How you doing?
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm not doing bad at all. So whereabouts in this great country of ours are you calling in from tonight?
Northeast Ohio. Wonderful place.
Ah, how far from Canton?
Probably like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I got a lot of family out there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we used to go out, a cousin of mine, every summer for Hall of Fame weekend. And we, of course, take part in the big street party the night before, where everybody's just walking around and imbibing and whatever they imbibe in and driving around, and then going to the game and the induction ceremonies the next day and hanging out with the cousins for a bit and then coming back home. So, that's been a long time since I've been out there, but I've probably been out there about a dozen times. And it's once you get through Ohio, it's not too bad. But that ride through Pennsylvania on 80 or 84 just seems like it's endless. It's such a wide state. So,
if you haven't been up to Canton in a while, I tell you what, that Hall of Fame, they're turning into I kid you not.
Really?
Yep. It's going to be a water park. They've got tons of entertainment out there. It's really changed. If you haven't been out there in a while, I suggest you check it out.
I have to start watching football again and relearn the rules. It's been a while. So tell me, how did you get involved with Midwest Motorsports, and how long? And tell me a little bit about your racing history. We've got your picture here with your hand on a car from Granger. That's the sponsor of it. So tell us about that and a little bit of your racing background, if you don't mind.
Oh, man. So I got started with the league probably about two and a half years ago. So Justin, one of the half owners of the league, was just prodding me to get into it. You'll like it. And finally, I decided to give it a shot. And, man, it's been hard to put down ever since.
It's addictive.
It's a fun thing to get into, and it's hard to get out of. And, I mean, of course, you're going to spend some money on it. So.
Yep.
That picture with the Granger car, that was forever ago. Our company I worked with at the time, we had basically a trade show down there at the RCR Cup place.
Cool.
And I seen the car and I had to get a picture with it. So I just had to make that my picture there.
Gotcha. So besides rules manager, do you race in any of the series for Midwest?
I used to be pretty active with Xfinity Cup. I do run every Sunday. I'd love to run trucks here and now again, but with my work schedule, I just can't commit to it.
Got it. So, like we were talking before we went on the air, you're coming to the People's Republic of New York on Sunday?
Yes. I'd be lying if I said I was looking forward to it.
At least it's not November and it's still pretty warm up there, because I see where you're going is pretty close to, what is it, Lake Ontario? It's not too far north of where you're going.
Yes, correct. And yeah. I'm thankful. I'm still getting my feet wet in the truck driving life, and I'm not ready for snow yet.
Yeah, because my son-in-law and daughter, they live in Carthage. He's in the Army at Fort Drum, and it wasn't too much later last year when it was, I think we had a really warm September, warm August, so the lake was really warm, and all of a sudden something came out of the North Pole, a cold breeze, and dumped 5 feet of snow in their driveway in a matter of a couple of days. So you look pretty good this week, but I'm not going to guarantee what the weather's going to be like in 30 days from now up there.
Man, Greg, you make that out.
Well, yeah, I know better not to predict the weather, let alone a month from now. So, I mean, this weekend looks good. So, what is your role? Describe what a rules manager does for an oval series in a league. How in-depth is it? How much time does it take? And do you make any changes during the season?
So we don't normally make changes throughout the season. We do have the ability to if something comes up that's, like, say, during a race, we see somewhere like, hey, we got to get this out of here now. We'll make a change. We'll notify the members in Discord.
Sure.
And we'll update it in the book. The job itself is pretty straightforward. I mean, really, the most time I put it is during off season. Whenever we go through, we review it and make changes, add anything other members or the admin team would like to see changed. We do a lot of meetings on it just to make sure everybody's in agreement on what we should be changing. But during the season, it's more so as things come up, then we address it. And if there's any kind of questions regarding how the rules are, I guess, dictated during the season, then I kind of give my my instruction on how that rule should be interpreted.
Got it. So what would cause a rule change in the middle of the season? Because we had to do that a couple times in Joe Sixpack Racing, for instance. We had a blanket rule that there were no black flags cleared, and we were finishing a race under caution on the final green white checker, and somebody runs out of gas on the apron. So under caution, as of course he's sitting there on the apron coming around turn four, and everybody that passed him was getting black flags. And so I'm like, wow, didn't think of that one. So we jumped in. I said, hey, admins, can I have permission to clear them? Because even though it was my league, I wasn't going to jump in and just create a new rule or change one right there. So everybody's like, yeah, go ahead. So we did that. So what would cause a rule change in the middle of the season for you guys?
I mean, it would have to be something really drastic that would either change the whole outcome of a race or something that makes you kind of scratch your head and just you're looking at like, how is that legal? Because when you're putting together a rule book, you don't, as great as it would be, you don't think of every possible thing that could happen on the track. And then when something so egregious happens, you're like, is that in the rule book? So you look and you go through it and you're like, how did we miss that? So then you add it. And it just takes that one person to kind of think outside the box and do something that they didn't see in the rule book. And then we have to look at it and be like, okay, well, we need to add that because we can't have that happen again.
Does something like that outside the box happen on purpose or just could it be by accident? Which way is it?
That's the beauty of it, though, Greg. I mean, even if it happens on accident, that's something you want to get it out of everybody else's head. Like, hey, this may have been an accident, but we don't want to see this again.
Got it. Like Chastain riding the wall.
Yeah, that was just. I mean, I don't know if he went into it with the mindset of, "Hey, I'm going to do this," but they didn't have anything covering that. And then it was the next week. We ain't going to do that again.
I believe, from what I was reading and listening to, it was his idea. And his pit boy, you know, you got a lap to go and it's Martinsville. So what are you going to do? So I guess they told him to go ahead because you got nothing to lose at that point.
And I mean, it just takes that kind of thinking. I mean, back in the day, it was people trying to find the competitive edge by tinkering with the engines, putting on extra decals to increase drag and downforce on the vehicles. And now it's all right, let's throw it in fifth gear and let's ride that wall and see how far we can get. So
Yeah. I mean, did you see the, I don't know if you saw the race or not, but you should have seen the look on Denny Hamlin's face after the race. As much as he is a is an adversary of Chastain, he's just shaking his head. He goes, what are you going to say? It was a brilliant move. Even he thought it was crazy.
Yeah. So as much as Dustin loves Denny, I am on the complete opposite end of that spectrum. I am not a big Denny fan, so yeah. I loved to see him get knocked out of the playoffs there.
Yeah. So you had to go down and get that picture with the Granger car. So you obviously have some love of racing other than iRacing. So what's your growing up and stuff like that? Did you go to dirt tracks? Did you get a chance to drive anything? Or when did you get involved in an interest in racing?
So I'd say it goes all the way back to probably fifth grade. My English teacher had Dale Earnhardt banners on her wall.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't watch racing at the time, and it was 2001.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So after hearing all the kids, because after Dale Earnhardt passed, like everybody in school was talking about it, just all the, you know, legendary, yep, like myth things. I remember hearing some stories, and I'm like, there's absolutely no way. But after hearing all that, I figured I'd start watching it and kind of see, you know, what all the talk was about. And I started watching when Junior was running, and I seen him at Talladega, and everybody mm-hmm. called him Pied Piper, and just how that guy could run to the front and everything. And I was like, you know what, this is actually pretty cool to watch. So I yep. became a Junior fan, and
there you go,
2001. Yep, and stuck with him until probably a couple years before retirement, and I stopped watching, kind of fell out of it. And,
yeah.
And a couple years ago, I decided to hop back into it and seen Larson was running with, Hendrick. I think it was when he was running the Target car. I wanted to root for him, but mm-hmm. just couldn't bring myself to do it at the time because I was still rooting for Junior.
Yep.
And now that I've seen that he's running again, he's in that five car, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to root for him. And he ended up winning that championship, and I've been rooting for him since.
There you go. In real live tracks, what's your favorite track and what's your favorite iRacing track?
Oh, man. That's awesome. So, real life, I got to experience Bristol just, a week and a half ago. And it's up there on my, I'd say it's up there on my favorites between it and Michigan, just because Michigan's one of those high bank, high speed tracks.
Yep.
And on iRacing, oh, man, that's a hard one. I'd have to say Martinsville on iRacing.
Oh, that's different. I've been there a couple times. I was there 2 years ago when Denny got into it with, I forget who he got into it with after the race, but it happened right in front of us, and so that was cool. It's a fun track.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Bowman. But the first time I was there, I was coming back from a quick weekend trip from upstate New York down to Augusta, Georgia. And on the way back, we stopped at Martinsville. It was 59 degrees when we left Augusta, Georgia. Yeah, it's going to be a nice day. We pull into Martinsville. It's 32 degrees and snowing. So we sat outside in that cold and froze, but it was one of the better races when there was a big pile up at the end. Justin and Eric, if you want to jump in and discuss with everybody and Anthony some of the upcoming rules changes and maybe tell us why some of those rules were changed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the most important thing that we should touch on tonight really is, you know, how we went from one of the point structures that we had this season to, you know, what we have now coming into season six and why, right? I guess, Ann, if you want to kind of touch on some of the things that we made around point, you know, changes we made around points, and I can then speak to the why, or you can as well.
Yeah. Yep. So some of our biggest changes we've made in the rule book are directly tied to points earned during the race for the season or the postseason. So we did change a couple points here, and I'm just going to go through them real quick. So we decided to add points for finishing races. So instead of just hopping into a race, running 10 laps, running 15 laps, you know, wrecking once and then getting out of it. If you run that entire race, we're actually going to give you 10 bonus points just for running that complete race, just to try and keep the competitors engaged in the race.
Yep.
And don't just hop in, jump out, skip out.
Yeah, start and park.
Exactly. Yeah, yep. We want to try and avoid starting parks because once you start to lose cars, you start to lose competition. So we want to keep as many cars on the track as possible.
Okay.
We are changing the point structure. So traditionally, we've always done a 43 down to one. So if a winner, if you won the race, you got 43 points, and then you'd go down per position. So we're changing that. We're going to go from 33 down. I don't think we've ever had a field larger than 33 cars. We've had big field, like about 30 cars, but I don't think we've ever been over 33. So we're just going to go ahead and drop it down to 33. So winner gets 33 points going down to the last person in the race getting whatever points position they finish at.
Oh, got it. So what that does there, if you have a small field of, let's say, 20 cars, you can finish in P20 and still bring home quite a few points. This is going to change that. Yeah.
Correct. So aside from that, we did change our stage points. So last season, we only issued a stage point to the winner of the stage. A lot of we've seen it in our polling at the end of the season. A lot of people want to see us go back to more of a top five point structure. So if you finish in the top five in the stage, winner gets 5 points. Person who finishes in fifth will get one. So it just kind of tears down.
Sure.
And that's stage one and stage two. Something that's coming back that I'm actually happy to see, leading a lap, you're going to get a point.
Okay. That's what we do in our league. It's ARCA rule. So if you lead a lap, you get a point.
Yeah, we took that away, I want to say, a couple seasons ago, and it's nice to see that make a comeback.
Yep.
We are moving our winner from 2 points down to one, so if you win the total race, you get 1 point. Incident points are going back up. We're going up to five bonus points if you get a zero incident race. So that just kind of promotes clean racing to try and get as many points as you can. So, at the end of the race.
Wow. So even if you finish out of the top 15 and you finish a race, you're going to get, what is it, 10 points for finishing the race? And if you got zero incidents, you're going to get 5.
Correct. Yep.
So that's like, yeah. So you could, in some instances, that would be double the points if you finish near the back, which would be me.
So one thing that we noticed this season, Greg, was, you know, we had a lot of people that were fast, but we had a lot of people that were consistently winning stages. You know, ultimately, you know, some that were winning races consistently, and, you know, that put them above others when it came to the chase, obviously. Now,
sure.
That's okay. But at the same time, we had some, you know, points differences between, you know, first and second, or, you know, between the top five down to the top 10, right. You know, when we have the chase reset. So hopefully, you know, by doing this, reverting back to some of the things that we did in season four, will help that person that's consistent. Will help that person, you know, that's clean, and is able to finish the race, you know, clean, you know, be a contender there, you know, once it comes into the chase, and hopefully start to have a little closer points battles, you know, towards the end of the season.
Sure. So you mentioned the 5 points or the 10 points for finishing the race, instead of like doing a start and park like that. On average, if you know, if you start with a field of 25 cars, how many actually finish the race?
Average, honestly, Greg, we'll have a few that pop out here and there.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's it's ones that don't manage their fast repairs well.
Yep.
You know, and wind up with you know at a Daytona or something, get into a bad wreck at the end or towards the end and sure. have to leave, right? So by promoting you know with the 5 bonus points, you know, on being clean, and also the 10 for finishing, you know, hopefully we're promoting, you know, that cautious driving and
right.
and you know, trying not to be so aggressive at the beginning, stuff like that, right? So
yep.
That's our goal at the end of the day is you know, to keep things clean and you know, to keep it fun for everybody.
Sure. Do you think that's going to encourage drivers that would, let's say, they don't like a road course like Watkins Glen, where we would have a lower turnout, or a lower turnout at Martinsville and maybe Richmond? Do you think that'll encourage drivers to show up at tracks that they might just take a provisional for instead?
You know, I'm hoping so. You know, maybe they aren't feeling like they can be competitive there. But, you know, at the end of the day, hey, that you're getting, you could get 15 points just by turning some laps around the place, right?
That's true.
So, you know, hopefully we will get a better turnout for it. Now, of course, we don't want moving chicanes on the track either. So, you know, the other factor there is just awareness and
right.
you know, try to stay out of people's way. But, you know, in contention, it could be, you know, an opportunity to gain some points and yep. gain some positions as well. So.
Right, so you're avoiding the start and park, so now you're hoping to avoid the start and go slow.
Yeah, yeah, that too. Okay. We'll see how it turns out, you know. Like Anthony said, we don't like changing rules in the middle of the season, but,
right.
You know.
Okay. How many times in the first 5 seasons have you made changes to the point structure, and how did they come about?
Let's see, the first season we just ran strictly old school NASCAR points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, winner at the end of the season takes the trophy, right? And then we moved into more of you know, bringing cup cars into the game and Xfinity for season 2. We didn't mess around with stages in season 2. However, we had, I would say a pre-playoff, more of a chase, point structure, meaning you win the race, you get a point, and, you have the fastest lap, you lead a lap, you know, you qualify on the pole, stuff like that.
Sure.
The same thing started to unfold like we saw this season is, you know, the folks that were winning all the time were the ones that were, you know, at the top during a chase reset, you know, stuff like that. So, came season 3, season 4 is when we introduced the stages. You know, unfortunately we weren't smart enough at that time. I'll say that is we gave stage points for stage 1 and 2, we never gave stage points for you know, the final stage, the end of the race. We did give the winner a point, but that was it, right? Like, we were giving 5 points to the winner of stage.
Yeah.
And it came very, very quickly to us that people were fighting for those stage points, which made sense rather than,
sure.
you know, winning the race. So strategy yeah. at the end, wasn't there, right? We had people running, you know, running on old tires for you know, two-thirds of the race because they were using their sets to try to win stage points, so on and so forth.
Right.
So then that led us into season 5, you know, and of course we've put these out there as votes and whatnot throughout the seasons as well, you know, had the members vote on it. One thing that they, you know, really were vocal on was that part of it, right? Like, hey, the stage winners are, you know, are getting more points than the race winner. That's not fair, so on and so forth.
Interesting.
So we listened and it made sense, right? So
sure.
So we switched to, okay, stage winner gets 1 point and then race winner gets two. So then again, we kind of failed to keep that person that was consistent with top fives, you know, into the hunt when it came to the chase and the end of the season. So, you know, reverting back to our structure that we had season three, season four, but also introducing that last stage point structure, we're hoping that, you know, that person again, like, has consistency or whatnot. So to answer your question, it's probably about four times we've changed this point structure. So I hope this is the one we land on forever. I'm excited about this one. I'm excited about seeing, you know, the opportunities that are out there for people to grab points for one, is extensive. So, you know, hopefully we can see some tight battles happen.
Cool. And, any other rule changes besides point structure for season six in the Oval Series?
So the biggest rule change that I'd say that really needs to be addressed tonight would be the blinking rule that we put in. Just because it's hard to police every car that's blinking, but when you do get them, it's usually an egregious car that's like, it's on the track and then 30 seconds later it's gone.
Right.
So we ended up putting a rule in just to avoid some calamity on the track. We have put an offense tier in, that way we can issue out different offenses for it to try and, try and get that person to either restart the router or look into the issue a little bit deeper and see exactly what's going on so they can get fixed.
So explain the tier structure on the blinking car rule.
Oh yeah. So, first time we see it, race control is going to just come over the comms and tell that blinking car, move to the back of the pack, kind of take yourself out of the traffic, out of that pack race. That way you aren't disappearing from the track, coming back in and ruining somebody's day or causing a pile up.
Sure.
After that, say next race comes along and the car's still blinking, it's away from the track, we're going to issue an EOL, and that's going to be on every restart that happens in the race. That way it puts you at the back of the pack. It's going to be anytime we have a yellow for an accident, anytime that we do a stage break, anytime the race needs to be on a restart, there will be a EOL issued to that car. That way, again, you aren't up in the pack blinking and causing an accident.
Right, because usually if you're going to be blinking seriously, it's not going to go away during a 45 or 50 minute race that often.
No, and then if the third race comes along and it's still happening, we're just going to have to remove that car from the session because, I mean, three races in, if it still ain't fixed, I mean, you got to look into it and get that fixed because you're going to take out a car or you could take out half the field and you're going to have a lot of angry people about that. So that was the biggest rule that we've put in that I think would need to be talked about.
Got it. I know you have a rule that for race chatter should not be talking on the iRacing channel. So there's like a race chatter channel on Discord. Do you have to call pit stops on the race channel? For instance, if you know, like I say, car 64 pitting in or pitting out, is that a rule that you have to follow at all?
Yes. So we do, in every race, we ask that the drivers get on the driver's comms. And those comms are to be used strictly for car number 8 pitting in, car number 8 pitting out. If, say you do go up and you hit somebody in the rear in the middle of a corner at Talladega, you can mic up and say, hey, sorry about that. The one thing that we want to avoid is somebody getting on there and just talking about their day, talking about
yep.
their life, or yeah. talking about how terrible somebody's driving.
Sure.
And just being super negative, because that's one thing. I mean, that's one thing I like about being in a league, is you don't get that general race. Like if you're out running generals,
yep.
and you got that guy on the comms like, hey, get out of the way, you suck. And
exactly.
We don't need that.
Okay. Any other rules updates, guys, for this coming season?
I'd say we hit the peak of it. The major thing was our point structure and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say on a rule basis, but something, this is kind of new to what we do in the winter side, but we do have a different track every week, where previous seasons during our long season, we tended to double up when it went into the mm-hmm. chase or whatnot. So
cool. Okay.
That's kind of exciting, you know, to where we're going to, you know, hit every track, not every track, but a different track every week. And, you know, of course, some tracks may be different upon trucks, Xfinity or Cup. So, looking forward to it. Be a good season. I do tend to enjoy the winter one for one, cause it is our longer season and whatnot. And,
yep.
We tend to have some tighter points battles, and I'm hoping that our points change, will reap the reward and show some even closer battles. So should be a good season.
Yeah. I like, racing in the winter much better than the summer. Cause I was in the other league and we raced at 7 o'clock on Sunday nights in like July or mm-hmm. June. And it's just so nice out. So yeah, looking forward to, racing during the winter and like having something to do on a Sunday night since it gets dark so early. Our guest this week has been Anthony Castor. He's the Oval Series Rules Director for Midwest Motorsports, and that is the Cup Series, Truck Series, and Xfinity Series. Anthony, you're welcome to hang around till the end. We're just going to talk Road Series a little bit, and then we'll be on our way. And also want to let you know about Track Racer. If you want some new racing rig or any racing equipment for your sim rig, get a hold of Track Racer and go up there. When you check out, make sure you put in the code or tell them that you are with Midwest Motorsports, and Midwest Motorsports will get a commission on that sale to help cover the cost of running a league and everything, which is can be expensive, as I know from my end. So that's Track Racer is proud to sponsor Midwest Motorsports, and buy from them and also help your league out. And DTL Customs Design and Graphics, it's David LaMaga, a good friend of mine who did all our graphics for Joe Sixpack Racing and the 802 Cup Series. You can find him on Facebook, does paint skins, posters, all kinds of stuff for your league or other things as well. So let's jump over to the Road Series, and Eric and Justin, tell me what happened this week at the Red Bull.
Well, yeah, I had a great race. Huge number of drivers come up, which is awesome, and hopefully get in a lot coming into tomorrow night's race. But tricky track for anybody who has run the Red Bull Ring before. It is... it likes to give out off track for a variety of things. So, you really got to make sure you're on the surface. It's on curbs. You think, you know, you can really take advantage of, but you end up getting a 1X or, on the exit of a couple corners, you might even get a 1X, and iRacing decides to slap you with a slowdown. So, it was a great race. Shay McNeely took the win there. A lot of battling. A lot of guys ended up pretty much just kind of just fall into place and, you know, not get any drive through penalties or rack up the incidents. So, it ended up shaking up the standings quite a bit. David Wortman, moved up two spots in the AM class. Adolfo Castillo went up three spots into the fifth place, and a couple drivers lost three positions. So it was a pretty good, I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, but it looks like quite a few mix-ups here in the overall standings, as well as class standings, and pretty much the same for our pro split. We have Shay moved into second place, Jason Phillips up into third, Max Bauer up two spots into fourth. I lost four positions, but that's all right. So it was a good one to shake things up. And tomorrow night we go to the Nürburgring Grand Prix layoff for our sprint format. So we'll have our 20-minute sprint race, and then the top 10 finishers will all get inverted, and then we'll go into our hour-long feature race.
And how does the point structure work on the roadside versus oval?
So we have a pretty decent span of points. So most importantly, everybody will eventually, you know, come back out of the race with points. So you're always fighting for something, which is a big change that we made along with the splits. So basically, we have our pro and am split points designation. But for instance, say that a AM driver finished, say, fifth overall, they would be getting, you know, those overall points in the pro class rather than what the fifth place points would give out in the AM.
Oh, interesting.
Class
okay.
designation. So yeah. It'll eventually kind of even itself out over these first couple of races.
Yeah.
Some of the AM guys are up a little high compared yeah. to some of the pro drivers. But
yeah.
again, that's good competition, and I think that's great for the league. So you still have your overall points that'll come into play, but there are the different designations for the pro and the AM class.
Got it. And I guess that answers all my questions there. So you're in week 3, and it's a 40-race season this season?
20, let's see here. I think it's about 20-something. 22, maybe.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just due to the right. holidays here, you know,
right.
Coming up. But we have a 20-race season, but again, some we have 4 weeks that are sprint races, so you kind of get a points
sure.
opportunity. If you can score within the top 10, you're getting more points. You know, if you can carry that through from the sprint to the feature and basically double up on some points, you're in a good position to kind of make some more headway, you know, in
sure.
those standings, either in the sprint or overall. So we have, we have the Nürburgring coming up. So that's a great track. And that's going to be a good one, I believe, for and a feature segment.
Cool. No, that was my mistake on that. I was looking at the original, the one page with the sports with the standings that showed that it was 40, but it was doing that, was totaling the two series together, you know, 20
yeah,
pro, 20
sense.
AM.
Yeah.
yeah.
Your favorite track, not too far off. We got Lime Rock Park, classic layout, so that'll be a fun one with the GT4s as well.
Oh, going back over there one more time, not to work before our right-handers club season luncheon and end of year stuff like that. And it's also going to be on the same day that they're having their new series called MiataCon, which is nothing but Mazda Miatas all weekend. Racing on the track.
Cool.
Oh, it's going to be great. So,
So October 24th. So maybe if I can twist your arm, maybe you can jump in the booth and do a little road broadcasting with James.
Yeah. Remind me. Yeah. Love that.
For sure.
love
for sure.
to do that. Well, I guess that, unless you got anything else, that about wraps it up for tonight. Where's the, road series going next week?
The Nürburgring Grand Prix is
okay.
next week, and then we kind of start our – we have Spa after that and Suzuka, and then kind of in the middle we have kind of a bunch of U.S. tracks. So we have quite a plethora of U.S. stuff going on right
cool.
in the middle of the whole schedule, which will be pretty fun.
Got it.
Iconic tracks that we have in store for the season. Okay.
Got it. I just want to ask Anthony one more time there. Something about on your Facebook page, don't bring up Le Mans. What's...
Yeah. Don't bring up Le Mans. Don't bring up 6 hours of the Glen or Bathurst. Or
oh, okay.
So, Le Mans, we ran the 24 hours at Le Mans. Was that a year ago?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, and I got stuck with one of the night stints.
Oh, gosh.
yeah, and that backstretch, I always make the joke with the guys that the only light you have is one of the house, the guy using the restroom in the house in the corner. That's about all you got. And I ended up wrecking the. We were driving a Porsche that night. I ended up wrecking the Porsche, and
oh man,
it was not good.
I thought you were going to say, since there's no light back there, that's where you just pull off the side of the road and take an hour nap, and then hopefully nobody notices.
We've done quite a few. There's a small group of us that try and do as many of the team special events that iRacing puts out. And the first one we ever tried was the 6 hours of the Glen. And we had a pretty big team, I think. I think we had about 5 or 6 of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to give it a whirl. And I forget who. I think I was supposed to take the car after Anthony or something. But quite a few guys usually hang out and try and spot and manage pit stops and setups and stuff for whoever's in the car. So it's not like you're just always by yourself. But all I can remember was I told Anthony, I said, "Cold tires, just take it easy. Throw the bus stop on your first lap." He's like, "All right, got it." And he just nails, like, I don't even think he lifted. He definitely didn't touch the brake, but he just sent it right through the bus stop into the wall. And it was like 30 minutes of repairs. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to step away for a minute. But it's fun. I mean, he's gotten so much better at road racing. And I wish he could still run, you know, our weekly road series. But it's fun to see the oval guys kind of start to build their skill when it comes and to road racing, and it's all applicable to any car you drive on a road course. It's just kind of more or less figuring out the car at that point and what you want it to do, but
and getting into the rhythm.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys, but right around the 24 hours of Daytona, there's a guy that was a guest on my show, Justin Clapper. He was the tire changer on the over the wall crew for Zane Smith when Zane Smith won the truck series a couple of years ago. He does something called the 24 beers of Daytona. And you got to have minimum of 3 guys on a team, and they start, it's not a full 24 hours because they did that the first year, and everybody got off at 2 a.m. and came back when they got up at 6. So the first hour and a half is broadcast, and the last hour and a half is broadcast. And if you have, let's say, 3 guys, you have to finish the race and be able to show on camera 24 empty beer cans. It doesn't matter the size.
That sounds challenging.
It is. And what they do is a bunch of them, when they shut down around, starts at like, let's say, 8 at night and runs till midnight, and then it starts again the next morning at 7 and runs till 3 in the afternoon, is a lot of them will just get on and they will keep pounding down the beers, and they'll just set up other races and run all night long. So yeah, check that out. It's called the 24 Beers of Daytona. And like I said, it sounds like a lot of fun. And the Clapman is he's a nut job, but he's a good guy. He's way out there, and he's really into the racing. So I think he was working on a truck team and another Xfinity team this year. So anything else before we close up for tonight?
That should be about it. Actually, we are this weekend going to run some recruitment races for Trucks Xfinity and Cup. The same times that we run them during the season, obviously. But
okay.
We'll run those at Talladega. Be the same kind of structure we do in our season. So, you know, if anybody's kind of wondering how we run our races and whatnot and trying to give it a fix, you know, kind of look for us at our designated times to pop into the hosted section for just be labeled Midwest Motorsports.
Ah, cool.
And we'll throw those up and give anybody an opportunity to kind of check us out.
Great. I'll probably will be jumping in on Sunday night for that one.
Good deal.
Yeah, I'd love to have it.
Yeah, and then you get done and say, why did we let that guy in? Okay.
I'm sure it won't be.
We let Dad race, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep, that's right. I told you it was last weekend running against him in the truck series.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he popped that's in awesome. And I saw
that. I was just trying to stop it in his house a couple hours ago, actually, to help him get something figured out on his computer. And he literally asked, when are you guys going to do recruitment races? And I said, you'll have to ask
Carrick about that.
All right, so
we'll get those posted up, and I'll get those out on blast on all the different
cool
platforms and the different Discord channels, the iRacing forums, Reddit, and all that other stuff. So
alrighty,
hopefully we can get we've had good success in the past with them. So hopefully, you know, with this Winter League gearing up, you know, we just continue to gain, sure, gain more members and hopefully retain those guys for future seasons.
Great. Well, Anthony, Eric, and Justin, thanks for stopping in tonight, and we'll look forward to Sunday night jumping in on the recruitment race, and then we'll meet up again next Monday.
Right on. Yes. Thank you, Greg.
All right. Have a good night, guys. Greg. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for tonight. This has been the Cool Down Lap, the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. I'm your host, Greg Dreis, and as soon as we get done here, you can check this out on Twitch for about the next 2 weeks before they take it away, but don't worry, it will live in infamy on YouTube as well as Anchor and Spotify, where the video and the audio will go up. And you can also check out the audio on Spotify, Google, Amazon Podcast, Shoutcast, TuneIn, and Sirius XM. Sounds great to say that. Doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of podcasts on there, but my wife said, oh, that's great. You're on Sirius XM. I go, yeah, way down on the bottom, but we'll be there. So tune in again next week for the Cool Down, as well as don't forget Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time, the recruiting races for the Cup Series. So if you want to race Cup, check out there, and also Truck and Xfinity races will be recruiting races this weekend coming up as well. If you want any more information on how to join, stop by Midwest Motorsports at midwestmotorsports.com. And I think there's a hyphen in there. Just let me get back to the page and tell you which one it is. Midwest-motorsports.com. Top of the page, you'll see all the information, and the second line over after information, actually the next one, is sign up today. They'll take you through the sign up process. It's quick, it's easy. And if you want to check out old series, Cup Series, Xfinity Series, Truck Series, Road Series, merchandise, and live stream, just hit the drop down menus and you'll find out more information. And all the points and updates every week are on Sim Racer Hub, which is a big display ad right there in the middle of the page on the left. Click that, it'll take you to the every league, so you can see how the points are going and what's going on there. And one more time, don't forget about Track Racer. If you need new sim racing equipment or your friends do, buy it through Track Racer and mention at the end Midwest Motorsports or a code if there's one, and Midwest Motorsports will get a commission on sales and use that to pay for to keep the leagues going, because it's not cheap. I ran three leagues and was shelling out a whole bunch of money every month. And these guys here are running four leagues, and there's always a cost involved. So once again, thanks for listening. This has been the Cool Down Lap, a production of the Sim Racing Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Dreis. Until we meet again, stay in your lane.